Welcome back to JR Morning on 760 WJR. And the shocking killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk has sparked some heated debate across the country, and not just about motive, but about the broader climate for free speech in America. At the center of this conversation is the growing concern that conservatism and conservatives on college campuses and the public life more broadly are facing threats, not just to their ideas, but also to their safety. One voice weighing in is Caitlin Buss, assistant editorial page editor at the Detroit News, who recently penned an op-ed titled "Kirk Shooting Shows Conservatives' Free Expression Under Fire." And Caitlin joins us now to share her perspective. Caitlin, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
In your op-ed, you argue that Charlie Kirk's assassination is more than just a loss of a young political leader. It's a direct strike on the principle of free expression. Why do you see his death as a wake-up call for America?
Sure. It was hard, especially to write about this before knowing much about, the shooter. But I think the target of the assassination kind of shows enough in that, Charlie Kirk was certainly had some provocative views, some views that people think, shouldn't even be welcome in the sphere of public debate, which I think is kind of ridiculous. But him being targeted just shows, he was a debater. He brought these conversations in a civil way, always bringing them right to people who disagreed with him. And he was shot down for it. He spent his career telling conservatives, not to be afraid, to be willing to go out there and engage in these conversations. And that's, precisely why he was taken down. And I think that just puts the entire experiment of civil debate in jeopardy.
I can see this point of view. You write that it looks like a trend directed, violence directed at those who dare to speak from the right. And I could see where you get that from. Charlie Kirk, the president, twice. But isn't it just an overall sort of trend toward violence politically when you include what happened to the Speaker of the House in Minnesota, to Nancy Pelosi's husband, et cetera?
Yes, certainly it's, across the political divide. And that, I pointed out the Minnesota Pelosi is certainly one of those examples, and even January 6th itself. But I think when you're looking at, this kind of marksman style attack, and again, we don't know, exactly the background of this guy. It sounds like he learned how to do that from hunting, but it was a very targeted, very prolific, very public attack on the idea of free speech, and particularly on this, conservative brand, I want to say. And certainly we've seen a lot of heated rhetoric on both sides of the aisle. I just think we haven't seen this kind of direct attack on a spokesperson of the left, on one of the, high profile people, say the number three in the circle who helped hypothetically get Kamala elected, that kind of attack. We haven't seen it. And conservatives do feel that they have had this target on their back for a while, at least the past decade, if not longer.
So do you believe that the right or the conservatives' ability to speak freely about their thoughts, their ideology, their positions on major political issues, do you think that's under attack here?
I do. And, I come at this from, typically a right of center perspective. So I can say, as someone who tries to talk about some of those ideas from time to time, there is more pressure and there is a fear out there of speaking even calmly. And like I said, civilly with, fact and argument and conviction, there is a fear about that. Certainly there's extreme opinions. There's extreme ways people act. No one's defending that. I think the fear here is Charlie Kirk was none of those things. He was not a violent person. Sure, people disagreed with him, but he didn't act violently in the slightest, nor did he defend that.
So then where does that feeling come from? Like where is the most worrying part for you?
I think there's just a feel, excuse me, I'm fighting a cold.
Sure, that's okay.
There's a certain feeling that there's an intolerance, that some opinions that tend to be, at least in my experience on the right, I don't hold some of these farther left views, that there's just an intolerance for it. And you can argue, hey, this is just my perspective. This is just my belief. In the case of Charlie, he based a lot of his beliefs in Christianity. And the response is, well, you shouldn't be here. You're a Nazi. You're not fit to be part of humankind. And you know, I know there are certain feelings that that goes both ways. I just personally haven't experienced that. I've experienced a lot of, you know, pushback, and there is a chilling effect to people not feeling that they can speak freely. Of course, we don't want it to tend to violence, but that speech should certainly be allowed and encouraged.
Speaking with Caitlin Buss, assistant editorial page editor at the Detroit News. And Caitlin, if America can't ensure that its citizens can speak freely without the fear of violence, as you wrote, then our grand experiment in self-government is already over. That's a pretty powerful warning. In your view, what steps can we take, really some concrete steps from leaders, the media, communities? You know, what's needed to turn this moment into some real correction, course correction?
Yeah. Well, I think it used to sound hokey, but certainly our leaders need to do a better job. And you remember, you know, 50 years ago when people in Congress would say, you know, my distinguished friend with whom I disagree. And they were very certain to confirm each other's humanity, even in the midst of debate. And I think for residents, you know, just people in America, social media is a huge problem. And we've seen that. You know, if you want to peg Charlie's death on social media, I think there's certainly an argument for that. But we've also seen just an equal response to his death and how ugly social media can be. I think it's a huge detriment. You know, it's hard to get off of it, but in-person debate, you know, and conversation, I think we have to try to return to that, or at least get out of those silos that make us so angry online.
We hold free speech so dear here. What are your thoughts on the people who were celebrating on social media? Is that free speech?
I think it is. I absolutely think
it is. So you wouldn't support the firing? Because people are getting fired.
You know, it's almost like the other side of cancel culture. I didn't support that either. And I don't necessarily, look, I'm not a vindictive person. I would certainly never go out and try and find out where someone got, you know, was working to get them fired. I think that's fair. You know, it's not necessarily illegal, but I don't think it's the way that this should be handled. I think both sides of it are equally ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's at some point it's the perspective of the employer if they think that that's a good thing to do. But then, you know, the legalities of it all is where you could see some real issues and lawsuits potentially filed, things like that. Caitlin Buss, always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, it is. And I think her editorial was nicely written, and I'm glad we had Caitlin on.
But I mean, for me, I'm of the belief, again, you know, you can make these comments about him. You could feel however you want about him. All that's fine. But again, you start crossing into some pretty scary territory when you start, you know, when you're mocking it or glorifying it, things like that. I mean, whatever, say what you want about him, but when you start praising it or things like that,
it
gets scary.
It's completely nasty and ugly. But like, if we are free speech, completely free speech, it's just like a weird line.
No, it is a weird line. Yeah, certainly.
Ever wonder what it takes to build a winning golf program? We'll talk more about EMU's golf program next on JR Morning.